Invite you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. We continue on and wrapping up, getting close to wrapping up this book, and hope that it's been a help and a blessing to you. It has been a blessing to me. It's good for us to. It's good to have topical messages and teaching. Good to have expository, a mix of that. When we preach and teach expository, just going verse by verse by verse, we run across the different subjects that are at hand, and then sometimes those things give us a springboard for topical subjects where we look at a topic and then just go through the scriptures and see what the scripture says about them. Both of those ways of study and being a student of the Word of God are good and appropriate. I think they both certainly have their place, and I don't think either one of them should be excluded. Neither one of them is to the exclusion of the other. You know, we need to have, I talked to you about this roadmap of the scripture, or these interconnections in the scripture. You know, we need to have that. That makes the scripture come alive and is real to us. I've mentioned here recently about Old Testament references in the New Testament. And if you don't know about what's being referred to in the Old Testament, it's harder. You can't understand fully and completely what's being spoken about in the New Testament. You know, when the Lord points to something in the Old Testament, or the apostles point to something in the Old Testament, and all of those things are connected, and of course they all point to Christ. In this last chapter, we wanted to see, we have the contents of the New Testament. It's what our Lord has given us. It's what the Lord knows that we need. There is more that happened that our Lord could have given us, but he didn't. And maybe one day in glory, we'll find out about all those details that we don't know about. But what we want to see in this, one thing that we want to see in this last chapter, is that the work of the Lord in the days from the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first church at Jerusalem, and all the apostles, the lives of the apostles, and then the apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, the work of the Lord was greater and larger than they, okay? Because it spread abroad. That first church had, what do we hear? Well, upwards of 8,000 plus members, didn't she? 3,000 and 5,000 saved and added. I mean, it exploded. That church, first church, exploded, and it could be that even those were just the number of the men in some cases, possibly, and so it could have been greater than that. I mean, those associated and connected and members and a part of the church there at Jerusalem could have been, you know, well over 10,000. And so that group then, that church, was scattered because of persecution and then went out to hither, thither, and yon. And those brethren went preaching. All of them went witnessing. But those brethren of that church, first church, went preaching and teaching and proclaiming Christ, and folks were saved, and churches were formed. And so this church at Rome was that way. The Apostle Paul, he was not used of the Lord to establish this church, but other brethren were. And several that he writes about, we saw last time about Priscilla and Aquila, and the Lord, how the Lord used them to Jews, a man and his wife, and used them to be a minister in Rome, and then over to Greece, and over in Asia Minor, and we understand at the time of this writing back to Rome. I have the opinion that possibly on the third missionary journey, as the Apostle Paul has come down to Corinth in southern Greece and Centuria, where Sister Phoebe is a member there, and she's going to carry his epistle on over to Rome. He's on his way back, okay? And he's going to, if my memory serves me right, he's going to go back up. But on the second journey, he took shipping over to Asia Minor and on down towards Judea. But on the third journey, he retraces the route back up through Achaia and Macedonia and around the Aegean Sea there and back over into Asia Minor, ultimately coming on down to Jerusalem and back to Antioch. And so it seems like maybe that's the time that he wrote the epistle to this church at Rome. He's carrying back the alms that have been given by the churches there at Church at Corinth and maybe other churches, and back to the brethren and the churches in Judea and the church there at Jerusalem for the help of the saints there. And so we also mentioned that, you know, for those that are looking to have children or maybe adopt children or whatever, you got to find selection of names here. Okay, a lot of good names here that you might want to choose from. So, look to the Lord in that. And these names are kind of strange to us in our culture, in our day. But understand, these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're there in heaven, Brother Mark, waiting on us. Amen. Yeah, they may not exactly be looking for us. They're there with the Lord. And when we arrive as they, we will be right on time. All right. And we will rejoice together and worshiping and serving our Lord and just admiring our Lord for eternity. What a blessing that will be. We left off in verse 3. He says to greet Priscilla and Aquila. And of course, Priscilla is the wife. Aquila is the man. And then greet Mary in verse number 6. Epaphroditus in verse number 5, who was some of the first ones saved in Achaia there in southern Greece, and Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. We come to verse 7, salute Andronicus. There's a good name for a boy. And Junia, my kinsman, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Okay, so he knows that these are there, and he says that they are his kin. Are they Jews? Are they closer than just being Jews? Maybe they're of the same tribe. Okay, I think Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin, right? And so maybe they're Jews. Maybe they're of the tribe of Benjamin. Maybe they're closer than that. Okay. Fellow prisoners, he says of them. Had they been in prison with Paul? We could take a whole look at that about Paul's imprisonment, and it would be a fine study. Could it have been that they were in prison with Paul in Philippi? We don't hear about them if it was. But we want to take this opportunity, and let's take a look over here and just see again, you know, what's written to us is what we need. But let's look over here in 2 Corinthians, see what the Apostle Paul says. And he is bringing his case before the church at Corinth about his authority and calling of the Lord, his giving of his life, following the example of Christ for the ministry to the Gentiles that he's been called to. And listen to what he says here about this, about being in prison. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. Let's back up verse 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. Okay, and so there is this undercurrent at Corinth. Okay, the same church that he seems to be at when he is gathering up those alms to take back to the brethren at Judea, if we understand all that timing right. And as he writes them, he's beforehand, seemingly before that time that he arrives there on that third missionary journey, He's looking to convince them that he has the authority to instruct them and correct them and rebuke them. And they might be pointing to other men, but he's saying to them in the flesh, or speaking as a fool, understand what I have done for the because of the calling of the Lord upon me. I want good for you, and I don't instruct you in any way that is a hurt to you or as a detriment to you. I want good things for you. Now, it may be a rebuke, and you need to take that well. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent. And we saw at our cottage prayer meeting about Brother James and Brother Peter. You know, Peter and John were like Peter. We have account of Peter being put in jail two or three times, and John maybe a time or two. Of course, John was exiled. And so we have this account about the Apostle Paul being put in prison in Philippi, but according to what he writes here, he's put in prison several times, okay? And it just wasn't written about. But we can know that it was so. In prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. The Apostle Paul was left for dead. You know, he was beaten with, he was caned a few times and left for dead. And I can't remember exactly where that is, if that was in Asia Minor, if that was up there coming into Macedonia. They took Paul, they beat him, they took him out of the city, and the brethren are standing around him there. Those that beat him left him for dead, and the brethren are standing there, and Paul gets up, and they go on. The hand of God was upon him, and that's his point. You know, the Lord is in my ministry. And so he's been in prison, and so maybe it's the accounts that are written in the scripture about the apostle being in prison, that these brethren were with him, prisoners, fellow prisoners with him, or maybe it's other accounts that we just don't know along the way that they were imprisoned with him. Back in Romans chapter 16, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. And so these are known by the other apostles, the some of the other 12, okay? They, in a sense, maybe they go way back in regards to that of the ministry of Christ, okay? They go back to the ministry of the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. They were saved before Paul or Saul was saved. And so he says, say hello and salute them. Then we come to verse 8, greet Ampelius, my beloved in the Lord. And this is the only place that we hear about this one, beloved in the Lord, loved by the Lord. Verse 9, salute Urbane, there's a good name, our helper in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. Stachys, my beloved. And so others, you know, we have this kinship in Christ, times of fellowship, times of help, times of worshiping together. You know, we had that the other night. We went over to Julian Baptist Church and met with them and sister churches that came. And we hadn't had a fellowship meeting in some time. Our August monthly fellowship meeting was earlier in the month of August, and it seems like we hadn't seen some of those folks in months. And it's good to see them. You know, it's good to see them. And we have different experiences with different ones of them. And some are just, it just works that way. Some are closer, and not that not that all are not loved. It's just you've got one that helped you, or one that visited you, or one that prayed for you, or one that you've known for decades. You know, you got those different blessings, those different connections. And it's just good. And that's what the apostle is taking this opportunity to write. And he says, I love them, my beloved. I love them. Remember, that's one of those words, one of those three words connected to agape love, to be beloved. To be loved of God and to love one another in the love of God, that we have one for another because of Christ. He goes on to say here in verse number 10, salute Apelles, approved in Christ. How would you like that to be the testimony of the apostle about you? Approved in Christ. What a blessing. I doubt our brother or sister, or whichever it is, some of these it's hard to tell what the gender is, But he says he's approved in Christ. Salute them which are all of Aristobulus' household. Salute them. And so he says, salute this one, Apelles, and those of Aristobulus' household. Is Aristobulus, is he a man not saved? Or maybe he's a man that was saved and is going on to be with the Lord. And those of his household that remain, he's saying, say hi to him for me. Tell him hello. I say to tell him hello. Newberry's were over at Newby Baptist Church this middle of the week, and Brother Mark was communicating with me about that. And I told him, I said, tell Brother Scott and the church there and his family and the church there, tell him hello for me, because they're dear to us, and we love them, and we have that love one for another and for our brothers because of Christ. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. So again here, maybe a Jew, maybe of the tribe of Benjamin, or maybe in the lineage of his father or his grandfather, possibly. I find that interesting that Paul's originally from Tarsus, sent down to Jerusalem to be educated as a young man, right? It's there at the end of that Pharisee education, or in the midst of that, or towards the end of that, somewhere in that, while he's there at Jerusalem, then he takes up this great zeal of persecution of the church, Saul of Tarsus. And somewhere over the course of time, and remember, pardon me, his ministry spans possibly even over a couple decades. And you know what? The word of God is carried on to his brethren, or maybe even some that are close in his household, you know? He had been touched and changed by the Lord, and I said, oh, man, Paul has bought into this thing of Jesus of Nazareth? Really? And they listened. The Spirit of God moved. He carried the gospel to them. I don't know. You know, I don't know how it was, but these that are either Jews or near kin to him, they were saved too. Salute Herodian, my kinsman, greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. And so there's this household of Narcissus, some that believed, maybe some that did not believe. Those of my brethren in Narcissus' household, say hi to them too. All of these real people, just like you and me, real people living, working, raising their families, looking and trying to be obedient and serving the Lord, have been saved by the Lord. They're real people just like you and me. And they're there in glory with our Lord now. And as the brother writes in his day, he says, tell them hello. Tell them hello. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. Maybe if Stephen and Natalie would have some twins, maybe they could name them that. Tryphena and Tryphosa. That's kind of different. The different kinds of names and Greek names, Roman names, and strange to us in our culture. But he says, salute them who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. You know, was it one of those times that Paul arrived and he was sick, or they had little substance? They were just pressed beyond measure. Maybe it was one of those times after the brother was in the deep and was their shipwreck. You know, he lists that stuff over in 2 Corinthians where we read, and this one came to his aid. Helped Brother Paul, helped Brother Luke and the troop that went with him, were saved. And as a Philippian jailer, as that man at Philippi that was going to kill himself, but the Lord saved because of the witness of Paul and Silas, brought them in to his household and cleaned up their wounds and gave them something to eat. And the man's household was saved. Our Lord tells us that if we will give of our lives for his sake and the gospel's, if we will leave father and mother and sister and brother and all that, and he doesn't mean to dishonor them or to cast them away. That's not what the Lord means in that, but we'll sell out, be converted for in our lives that we're going to serve Christ, and we give ourselves for the work of the Lord and his ministry, we'll have a multitude of kin. If we understand things right, the Apostle Paul was never married, never had children. As far as we know, that seems to be the case. But he had children in the Lord, didn't he? Because he preached to many, and the Lord used him to carry his word and to save them. Our Lord saved them. He speaks to different ones that way. John. Remember John, the Apostle John? Brother Doug brought that out in some of the lessons that he taught, how John, being older, he refers to those saints as children. And it's held in, it's in the right way. It's in the right way. And some of these may be here that are older than the Apostle Paul. He would count as a brethren, and the ladies as mothers and his sisters. It's a blessing. It's a good thing. Which labored much in the Lord. Persis, if he would be a man, say. He would know how he helped. And the Apostle Paul would know how he was helped. And the Lord knows what went on. Not that anybody needed to even know. Salute Rufus. Listen to this. Chosen in the Lord. And his mother and mine. Is Rufus his brother? Is Paul's mother there in Rome? Or was Rufus and his mother like a brother and like a mother to the Apostle Paul? A great help, a Bible word, a succorer, one that would really seek to help and to comfort and to pray and to give of self to help him and bring him on his way. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Could these be another missionary troop sent out of Rome? I don't know. I'm not pretending to know, but I wonder. He mentions these brethren together, and that they're collected here together. Are they the ones that were used to maybe come from Macedonia or Achaia to go over there to Rome and to preach the gospel, and a church was established? Salute Philologus and Julia and Nerus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. He says, say hello to these two for me, Nerus and his sister and Olympus. Not only were men saved, as it says in the book of Acts, but men and women also. Souls were saved. It doesn't matter about gender, does it? And it doesn't matter about taking our place and to help in the ministry, to help the ministers of the Lord to fill the ministry that our Lord has called them to. Remember, don't forget the economy of the Lord. Many of these that our brother is mentioning have helped him on his way. And what did our Lord Jesus promise them? Give a cup of water to a prophet in the name of a prophet. You have a prophet's reward. Indeed, the Apostle Paul was a prophet because the Lord gave him some things, an understanding of some things, and certainly he gave him the Word of God, inspired him to write the epistles that he did. All these that helped the brother on his way have a reward like his. Isn't our Lord good? Isn't our Lord good? Real people that are with our Lord even now. And then we come to this in verse number 16. Salute one another with an holy kiss. Now for our culture, that just doesn't match up. We're not that way. In the Middle East, in the Asian cultures, it is that way. They would do so. They would give one another a kiss, a holy kiss. Nothing intimate about it from the standpoint of nothing amorous or the word escapes me like it would be between a husband and a wife, but a holy kiss, a greet. You know, we would shake hands, or maybe we would greet one another with a holy hug, right? And 1 Corinthians 16:20, the apostle writes this to these other churches. He says, all the brethren greet you one another with an holy kiss. How was it that Judas betrayed the Lord? With a kiss. It's part of their culture and part of their way. We do need to greet one another. I tell you what, it's good to come to services and let everybody know that you're glad that they're here. Sometimes you can't get around and do that, but when you can, do so. In 2 Corinthians, as he closes out that epistle to the same church at Corinth, greet another with an holy kiss. Let one another know that you really do care. That you really do care. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 26, he writes, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Remember, we're kin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to go from out of this world into eternity, isn't it? We've got one another whether we like it or not. And what a blessing. And he writes here, the churches of Christ salute you. And so those brethren that he is with is saying hello back to them. And then it's interesting, I've always found this verse interesting, and it is instruction from the apostle, and he writes this to the church at Rome. He's written to them about esteeming things correctly. He's written to them about not judging brethren. And again, when we say that about judging is we do make judgments according to what the word of the Lord says. We say what we believe and what we hold to is what God says. This is what God says. And this is what the Lord says. And it applies to me and it applies to you. Okay? We don't want to be like the Pharisees who said they took the word of God and applied it to the people. But the Lord said they wouldn't lift it and touch it with one of their fingers. No, we and he says in chapter 3, we need to be instructed ourselves. And then whatever the truth is, it applies to us all. There seems to be conflict in this church between the Gentiles and the Jews. And he says, between the weak and the strong, he says, don't let there be any judging. Don't you have a difference or being strong, know the truth, and then you shun your brethren because you have this disagreement. Don't you... If you're the one that just eats herbs, don't despise your brethren that do. Okay? Because, see, we can have the opinion and we can have the position, but then we can invoke, in that of judgment, we invoke pressure by being cold, refusing to shake hands, pulling the head away when we see you. Ever have anybody do that to you? They see you and then they don't want to see you. See, that's the judging that he's talking about is I separate you from my company. I'm not going to have to do with you anymore. I'm going to make you pay by my absence. We're not to be doing that kind of thing. We're not to do that. But yet he writes this. Now I beseech you, and he says, I beg you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So there is something, that needs to be done. And the apostle says for it to be done. Now, I'll be honest with you. The thing that I think about with this passage more than any other, and I think that this passage could be taken, and it's in parallel to a one that is a heretic after the second and third admonition, reject. Okay, I think it's parallel with that. I think it's parallel with what the church needs to do in regards to church discipline with the membership when they would get out of the way and begin to behave unsaved. Okay, I think it's connected with that and in parallel with that. But the thing that I think about the most with this passage is namely among pastors, and mainly that of pastors blowing off church authority. Okay? I am your pastor, called of the Lord to be the pastor of Olmsted Baptist Church. I'm to be the under-shepherd. And I'm to remind you what the Word of God says, and we are together to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But whatever the church establishes to be done, just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean that I can just shake that off, forget it, and go on and do what I want. Because the glory of the Lord in our day, the glory of the Lord in our day is in His church. And no man is bigger than one of the Lord's churches. Another church that would seek to undertake correct action in issues that they would be dealing with, you know, church discipline, say. They being one of our sister churches, we should honor that. There becomes a great problem between churches when church discipline is not supported by other churches. It leads to confusion and problems, issues. But there are those brethren that just blow that off and decide that they're going to do what they want to do. And certainly, I believe this passage says that they should be marked. Listen, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. That is dissension. That is sedition. We see some uses of this word in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's take a look over here quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So we see here the apostle points out that these divisions are in the church of Corinth because they're walking after the flesh. And we don't need to have that. We don't need divisions because of the flesh. Look over here in Galatians, another use of this word in the scripture. In Galatians chapter 5, I trust that becomes immediately obvious to you. Here we find this word used here in the telling of the fruits or the works of the flesh. In verse number 20 of Galatians 5, the works of the flesh are manifest, verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. The word is sedition. That's the works of the flesh. And so the apostle says, I beg you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions or seditions or disunion because of things of the flesh. Mark them. Mark them. Note them. Note who they are. He says here, cause divisions and offenses. Offenses. Scandal. Many times this word is used as the definition of this word would be a snare. occasion to fall, a stumbling block, okay? So not an offense for the sake of the truth, but if you will, an offense to Christ, okay? And again, following after the flesh. Let's take a look at a few uses of this word, same word in different passages. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. That same word. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. And again, we're not talking about stand for the word of God. He's not talking about that. He's talking about that which is carnal, that which is worldly, that which is sinful. He says, that which is scandalous. In Luke chapter 17, Luke 17. Again, our Lord speaking, and he said unto the disciples, verse number 1, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Don't be sinning. As the brother prayed, we need to be a holy people, an obedient people. But these things of sinning and causing scandal and causing a trap are not to be named among the people of God. In Romans chapter 14, we just referred to this just a few minutes ago. In Romans chapter 14, verse number 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. It's not talking about looking to the word of God and seeing what it says, that what our brother is doing is right or wrong. We are to look on and we are to understand and have a sober understanding of the way things are and what God says. But see, what they were doing is they were punishing one another. And we're not to do that. Okay? Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block, there's the word, or an occasion to fall, occasion to fall in his brother's way. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and occasions to fall contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. 1 John 2:10 speaks about an occasion of stumbling. And then in Revelation chapter 2, let's see here the words of our Lord again as he writes to one of the churches there in Asia Minor. In Revelation chapter 2, verse number 14, to the church at Pergamos, but I have a few things, Revelation 2:14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block, there's the word, offense, before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate, people controllers. People controllers. It's one thing to be bold in the Lord and to stand for the word of God and for a man to be how the Lord has made him, for a person to be how the Lord has made him and bear the fruit of the Spirit and stand for the word of God. But it's another thing for someone to be oppressive and dominate people. That's just no good. That's not the way of the Lord. And so we see here that he says, mark them that cause these dissension, this sedition, this disunion, and offenses, stumbling blocks, snares, traps, contrary against the doctrine which ye have learned. You know, we look to have brethren. We look to have brethren come and preach and minister to us, and that's good. It's good for us to have meetings. I look forward to our revival services in November, Brother Jason Schultz and churches. I think most of the church has met him on one occasion that we've had him before, and he's a man that I trust and love. He's a man, and I'm not looking to pump him up, but we're looking for men that bear the fruit of the Spirit. They may not be loud. They may not be domineering. They may not have, I'm not saying either they are or they don't, but I'm saying the characteristics of the flesh that we may enjoy and we may like and approve in a leader or a speaker or all that may not be what the Lord wants. Because the Lord wants fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. Somebody that knows the Word of God has a desire for people to be the children of God, to be helped and to grow, to stand against sin and the truth of God's Word and the truth of the gospel and the doctrine that the Lord's given us to hold to in His church, and to just proclaim it and tell it the way that it is and not look to put on a show or a spectacle, but preach what God has given him to preach and minister in that. And so these, and I think we could say the apostle is saying, mark them that aren't spiritual, but are dividers, and that put out these things contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Watch out. Does a man preach self, or does a man preach Christ? We don't need, and I don't say this in a boastful or bragging way, but we don't need men that preach themselves. We need brethren to minister to the church that'll preach Christ and the truth of God's word. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. See, the word of God, the word of God applies to us all. The doctrine which we have learned, it applies to me, it applies to you. And it can be that brethren can be tempted. It could certainly happen to me, and that's the reason I need you to pray for me, that I would fill the ministry. The Lord's called me here as pastor, that I would fill it well. But it's not a thing about I tell you what to do. But we look to the Word of God, and we find out what our Lord wants us to do. Amen? He says, if there be any that cause divisions and have these stumbling blocks, these offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, he says plainly, avoid them. Avoid. This word avoid is, and there's actually two words here that is talking about, it's the participle or the particle, and I'm terrible at English, and I wish I would have paid attention when I was in school more, as many of you would probably wish that I would have paid attention in school more. Okay, but it says to avoid. This word, synonyms of this would be to deviate. Another meaning of this word is to shun. Stay away. Stay away. To decline from. Or to eschew. In Romans chapter 3, take a look here, and we'll look at a couple uses of this word before we close. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 12, we've got the description of us, our depravity, the wicked, sinful man. Okay? And here this same word is used in verse number 12. They are gone out of the way. Who? Well, those that are not righteous, the no, not one, okay? They are all going out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The word here is going out of the way. The apostle writes, now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and go out of the way to stay away from them. Because they will bring no good. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that he may speak no guile, no deceit. Let him eschew evil. Eschew, same word. Avoid evil. Go out of the way to stay away from evil. Okay? And do good. Let him seek peace and ensue that, pursue that. Okay? So our brother writes, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And so the doctrine is the standard. Do they line up with that? Does what the Word of God say apply to them? Do they preach self, or do they preach the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ? If they do not, avoid them. Now, we are to be a witness to all men. And we are never to be mean to anybody. Understand that. We're not to be mean to anyone. But certainly in the church context, in teaching in the church, preaching in the church, giving these audience to allow them to teach and preach from the Word of God, we're to avoid it. We're to desire to be spiritual ourselves and to seek to have spiritual men that will teach us and feed the church. He's writing to the church, and he says, be on the lookout. What did he tell the brethren from Miletus? And in other words, and there in Miletus, as the apostle was heading towards Jerusalem, and they didn't want him to go, but he had made a vow. He had determined to go. Along the way, there was even prophecy that was given that he would go and what would happen to him. And he said to the brethren at Miletus that came there from Ephesus to meet with him as he's on the way back, he says, beware of wolves. Same kind of thing. Same kind of warning. Beware of wolves. Because he said there's going to be some, even from amongst you, they're going to rise up and you won't spare the flock. You'll look to serve yourself rather than to serve the Lord. And so may the Lord help us in that. Let's go back here to Romans 16 and let's just wrap it up with these couple verses that are after this, and then we'll close. He says here, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. See, that's the clarifier about their aim. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Okay? So may we receive that warning too, and may the Lord help us that we look for spiritualness, spiritual brethren, and spiritual men to minister to our church. You pray for me.